A lot of us who are somewhat older remember what we call the good old days. Folks, don't, when I start talking to the boys about the good old days, they don't want to hear about those days. But so I'm going to talk to you this morning. It was a time when the costs were not near as great. I know I don't have that good a memory, but I remember gas at 29 cents a gallon. I remember going down to Mrs. Walker's grocery store down on Ashland City Highway and getting a RC pie and a RC cola rather than a Moon Pie or a candy bar usually, and get that for a dime. Try that one time. We went to a pump for water, or we went to a well coming out of the hills, and it was crystal clear water, and it had a great taste to it. We didn't have the modern conveniences of three rooms and a bath. We had two rooms and a bath, and we think of those days, and usually it's only the good times that we remember about those days. I know there are a number of days that I don't remember. At certain places. I spent a lot of times at my grandfather's house. I must have had better days there than some of the days my daddy put me out in the garden working. I don't know. But I remember some of those days when I was up there playing with my cousin and when we were doing a lot of things together rather than having to do something by myself at home. But usually with the quickening of the pace of living these days, we're living so much faster. Sometimes we look back to those days, and usually it's a good times rather than other times. Time seems to dim the memory, and some of the things that we think of now as being good were not so good back then. Horse and buggy, which was a little before my time, even though my granddaddy did have a buggy shed, and he didn't have a car, so I assume that at one time those were the horse and buggy days. So I doubt that many of us would really want to go back to all those things of those days. But sometimes as we look at what's going around us, we think, you know, wouldn't things be great if things would just not slow down? I read last night, I forget who wrote this, but he said, if you're needing some time alone, some quiet time, take a half an hour. If you're too busy to take some quiet time, take an hour. Which is stating, I think, that we many times are too busy. And when we are, quote, too busy, is when we need to really slow down and take advantage of some time to reflect, some time to think about where I am today, who I am today, some time to think about the kids, the grandkids, and what we are leaving them, not only financially, but leaving them as far as their spiritual lives are concerned. It's not going to be worth a whole lot if we leave them a house to live here on earth if we don't do some guiding for them that will lead for their home in heaven with Jesus and with God. We've missed out if we haven't done that. But you know, with all the rising crime rates, with the violence, with the terrorist activities, there are sometimes that I'd like to go back to some of those days. We didn't lock our doors, as many of you didn't back when you were growing up. I read in Dear Abby, I read that every once in a while, but anyway, somebody wrote to her and says, you know, I've been married for, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years to my husband, and he just won't let me lock the doors. Says, I'll go and lock the doors at night, and he'll get up out of bed, and he'll go out there and unlock them. I think he's just contrary, don't you, ladies? But she was fearful. And Dear Abby told her to call the police and said they couldn't encourage him to want to shut the doors. So I don't know how that's going to wind, how it's going to come out and wind up. A lot of times there are things that are more fearful out there these days. But you know, there are some things back there that really haven't faded away in our memory. There are some old-fashioned things from long ago that are still in fashion, so to speak, from God's viewpoint, as far as the spiritual areas of our life is concerned. Because there's a whole lot of newfangled things coming out today. You know, we get confused. Should I go down that way? Should I go this way? Is this really right in God's sight, or is it not right in God's sight? Well, there's some basics, I think, that we can go to and that we need to go to and to see that just because it's something in the Bible that we believe for years and other folks want to say, well, you're just old-fashioned. You're old-fashioned. Well, I can tell you, looking at most of the large religious groups today, they are not old-fashioned. Doesn't appear to be that they've read their Bibles. You know, I'd rather read my Bible and study it and make a mistake than not to read my Bible and just go down the road I want to go down. I'm obviously wrong then. There's little chance of me pleasing God. But one of the things I think that it's old-fashioned in many people's eyes, but is of great value to us, is the old-fashioned faith that we read about in the Bible. Today, folks don't really want to talk about that kind of faith. They want to talk about faith and value. It doesn't have anything to do. That won't make anybody angry, because we don't even call on the Bible necessarily if we talk like that. We won't make people upset. Politicians really have a heyday with that phrase this day. And I think many of your mega churches also do too. But our lesson this morning is not so much to look back at some things that are old-fashioned, because there are a number of things that we maybe do as Christians that are old-fashioned that we might ought to take a second look at. And there are other folks who are, in the name of religion, doing old-fashioned things, especially if the old-fashioned things were wrong to start with. If they were just traditions that grabbed a hold at some particular place or in somebody's mind and they latched on to. God's Word reveals us that faith still comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith still comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. There was an article in the Saturday paper on that faith and values or whatever page there that talked about how some changes have taken place over the years, especially in the way we present the gospel or we present the teachings of the Bible to people nowadays as compared to in the past. Jude speaks of this old-fashioned faith in Jude 3. He says it was the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Jude 3. In Acts 15 and verse 7, Peter, in appearing before a group of Christians in the city of Jerusalem, and in defense of the Gentiles being baptized and being members of Christ's church, said, "Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." So there was, in the first century, a system of faith referred to also as the gospel, and individuals, it was such that individuals could believe it. Individuals could have a faith in that faith system, Christianity. Some might say, well, you're worshiping the Bible and not God. Because so many people don't want to look at the Bible, don't want to spend the time to read the Bible, don't think they have time to read the Bible. You know, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father except by me." And those words were uttered over 2,000 years ago. They're still applicable. They're still applicable. God, through the Holy Spirit, gave us His Word. God doesn't see down through just 100 years. God was here in the creation. He understands man because He created man. He knows what man is going to do. He doesn't determine He doesn't, we're not going around like puppets on a string, but He knows what we're going to do. He knows what inventions and what newfangled things would come along in the 19th and 20th centuries. And so there's no need for new books, as some religious groups would state. There's no need to relook and to rethink and to rework the faith that's taught in the Bible. Those individuals were taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those who believed in that gospel, that believed in Jesus Christ as God's Son, and those who responded in obedience to that faith were saved, added to the church. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts 2:47. It's 2,000 years from now. Surely that God wouldn't hold us to those old-fashioned ways, would He? His Word says He will. I have no later, latter-day revelation that says He won't. Nor do I have the right, Paul said. Paul said, if someone come to you, another apostle, even an angel, and teach you another gospel, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. When was that council? When did Paul take back his words? When did God say, Paul, no, that's just for this century. Paul, you're getting ahead of yourself. You're getting ahead of me. No. Jesus said of the Scriptures, the Scriptures testify of me. The Scriptures bear witness of me. Secular history speaks of Jesus as only a man, but Jesus was the Son of God. Throughout the book of John, John records the various miracles that Jesus did. His gospel account is called by many the Gospel of Belief. And in John 20, 30, 31, toward the end of John's book, the gospel account, these are written, he said, not the miracles specifically, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in His name. Is that applicable today, or does it have any meaning at all today? When did it become antiquated? If we believe in Christ, surely we will trust what God has said and what Christ said. It may be old-fashioned, but we need more of the faith that says, I believe it because it's in God's Word, and I believe God's Word. And some folks will kind of look at you funny if you said that. You're radical. You're one of those radical whatever out there in left field or right field. I can't keep up with liberals and conservatives and all that. I think we're usually considered conservatives, but sometimes they consider us radicals. So faith. Hebrew writer says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. But without faith it's impossible to please God. Without faith it's impossible to please God, but of course he that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Is that still true? Many would raise doubt in our minds. And we need to, and one of the reasons for this lesson is to give us encouragement. To give us courage when we face the onslaught of others and their beliefs or lack of belief. Because more and more, those who teach that this book is the final Word of God, it's the Jesus' final will and testament. That's why they call it a New Testament. It's a will. And Jesus left His will. It became effective when He died. After He dies, you can't change a will. You can't add to a will. You can't subtract out part of the will because you don't like what it says, or I don't like what it says. I don't get an inheritance, maybe, because of what's said in one part of the will. But it's there. It's there. throughout for eternity. And that old-fashioned faith should lead to old-fashioned obedience. Mother sat with her, or was with her child at this place, and she wanted the child to sit down. I don't know how old he was, 3-4 years old or what. He's at that age that he wanted to be in charge. But anyway, he wouldn't sit down. He continued to stand. And finally, his mother went to him. She'd got enough of his disobeying. And she popped him down in the seat. You know what plop means, don't you? If you had kids. She plopped him down in that seat. And that little boy just fuming, you know, sometimes small kids do before they understand which side of the bread the butter is buttered. But anyway, he said, you know, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing inside. You know how displeasing it is to God when someone just merely outwardly is obedient. Outwardly conforms to the commandments of God or to God's word. Rather than the renewing of our mind daily. Rather than continue to put away those things that ought not be in there and to put on Christ. This old-fashioned faith we've been talking about naturally leads to old-fashioned obedience. When a person really believes what God says, that person will do and will want to do what God says. Our responsible obedience can be seen in Hebrews 11. And I turn to Hebrews 11. There are a number of verses there, but look at verse 4. We have examples from the Old Testament. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. I suppose God must have talked to Abel and Cain about sacrifices. We don't have any mention of that early on in the Bible. But in order for them to make any type of sacrifices, God must have told them what was acceptable to him. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more acceptable, excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith. Why did Abel make the offering that he did? Well, when God talked to him, and I'm sure somehow he did have to give him some direction, he believed God. He obeyed God. He wanted to be pleasing to God. In verse 7, we find that by faith, Noah, warned of God of things not as yet seen, moved with fear or awe, reverential awe, and he prepared an ark. Why did he build an ark? Who made him think it would ever rain? And it would cover the earth. Well, evidently God told him that. And evidently he believed what God said. And he followed the directions of God to the T. Abraham, in that same 11th chapter, verse 17. The Hebrew writer says, by faith, Abraham, being tried, offered up Isaac. Why did he do that? God told him to do. Oh, he knew that Isaac was the seed promised, at least the immediate seed promised to him and Sarah, the child. And he knew that there was going to be difficulties in his own thinking if that child would die. But he believed God, and therefore he obeyed God. We read more about this faith of Abraham in Romans 4 and 5. But also in James chapter 2, where James deals with it in the second chapter. Find that in Romans, Paul says that we're justified by faith as Abraham was. And note in the book of James, James chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, go with me to that chapter 2, 21 through 23. I have the King James translation. Was it not Abraham our father justified by works when it offered Isaac, his own son, upon the altar. Seeing how that faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect, and the scriptures was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed or reckoned unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. We need the same kind of obedience that Abraham had, that Abel had, that Noah had. It is similar to the faith that Samuel had, as recorded in 1 Samuel 3:10. God was speaking to Samuel and was wanting to know who would obey and who would listen. And Samuel says, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." In Acts chapter 2. The day of Pentecost, that first day of Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus had been crucified on the cross within recent weeks. He had been raised from the tomb. And he had gone back to be with the Father. He had ascended to the Father just 10 days earlier. And Peter was preaching on that day. Others would be preaching. But we have his sermon, and he talked to those who were in attendance from many, many nations, and many of whom had been in Jerusalem during the time that Jesus was crucified. During the story of the resurrection, perhaps some may have been close to some of those who saw Jesus after he was raised. And Peter taught them. He convinced them with words that it told them that yet you have blood on your hands. You crucified the Savior. And that same Savior, God has raised up from the dead, that same Jesus Christ. And he now sits at the right hand of God on the throne, and he's now both Lord and Messiah, Lord and Christ. Those who listened, many of them believed what he said. Many of them were moved, pricked in the heart, the Bible says. And they said, "Many brethren, what shall we do? What we need to do?" And Peter said, based upon what you've done, you've sinned against God, you've sinned against Christ, and you need repentance, you need forgiveness. And what you need to do is what Jesus told us to tell you to do, to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what Jesus commanded his followers to preach and teach. And that's what this apostle preached and taught. And they believed, they obeyed, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts 2:47. 3,000 souls were added to them that day. So old-fashioned faith, obedience, that we read about in the Bible, not just because someone was practicing it out here in the country somewhere 100 years ago or 200 years ago, but because that's what they were doing in the first century. That was what was emphasized in the first century. All down through the years, people have gotten tired of those teachings and have changed them, substituted them, other teachings. Left them off. Demoted them, so to speak. Those who believed on that day and that day of Pentecost did not argue with the Apostle Peter. Did not argue that repentance and baptism were not necessary. Because of their faith, in essence, they were saying, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." You've got our attention. You got our attention, Lord. And we saw your son upon the cross. And Peter said, "Well, he died for your sins." We believe it. We now believe it. Other things that seems to be more and more old-fashioned is the church of the first century. The church of the first century. We have all kind of technological advances today even places where I guess you can still today go through a drive-in to take the Lord's Supper on Sunday morning if you're in a big rush. There's ever the drive for man to improve upon what God has done. We go back to the beginning of God's Word, and yet we forget that it was God who created all of us. He knows what we need. He has provided all of what we need. And we question the Creator. Are you sure you did enough? Are you sure that's what's needed? Are you sure that the preaching of the gospel will motivate people? Are you sure, God, that all of us will not be saved after all? Aren't you a God of love? Yes. I sent my Son. He died upon the cross. Said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. That was my love. There will be a judgment day one day. Oh, but surely there won't be people on the right hand and on the left. There won't be this narrow way going into heaven, this broad way going elsewhere, will there? After all, I read and I read the obituaries in the paper, and it seems like everybody's going to heaven. It doesn't matter what they believe. Sometimes we think just because a person has died, that's the next place. That's not what the Bible says. I'm not trying to be harsh. But people out there in this country need to wake up. Need to wake up. We got a movement afoot where some of the political parties said we need a universal health care. We need universal soul care. Yes, I'm concerned when my body is ill. When I'm in need of a physician. But when my soul is in despair, when my soul is headed in the wrong direction, I still need a physician, and the only physician that can help is the great physician. World today needs the old-fashioned church that Jesus built. Upon this rock I'll build my church, Jesus says. Matthew 16:18. Do you know which church that is? Does the world know which church that is? Does the world know where they can read about that church? Are we helping to get them to focus on the Bible, the only book that will tell them of that church to which the saved are added? Well, that's not being tactful. The world today needs that old-fashioned church, that first-century church. Jesus died for, purchased with His own blood, Acts 20:28. He gave Himself for it, Ephesians 5:25. The world today needs the old-fashioned church to which He adds the saved, Acts 2:47. That's the church I want to belong to. But if we don't get people to read the Bible, they'll never know that there is that church. And I'm not saying we need to put, quote, our congregation or our little group above another group and win some points. But we're talking about souls. We're talking about people's eternal home. We're talking about a pain that's going to be worse than any pain we've ever felt on this earth. I was in the hospital for about 12 days. I didn't know didn't think there's ever going to be any pain any worse than that. Some of you have been in the hospital. Some of you have gone through the pain of losing a loved one. That's a tough pain. It will pale in comparison to finding out, and for others around us, loved ones and others, to find out that Jesus is gone and He's built a place prepared for us. And we get there and we find there's no room. Or if someone else gets there and they find that there's no room there for us. Paul has said of God in Ephesians 3:21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. The Lord established his church, the kind of church that the world needs, a church that preaches and teaches the saving gospel message. The church that seeks to be conformed to the Savior instead of being conformed to the world. A church that cares more about souls than anything else. Some religious groups today seem to care more about entertainment. Oh, they put up their nose at us because we don't even have our guitar here. We don't even have a little old cheap piano. Or a little old cheap organ. People lately have gone to orchestras. Country music shows. And the Bible is put on a shelf. And their theology is taught through their songs. Long ago the prophet cried, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old path, where's the good way? And walk therein and ye shall find rest unto your souls, Jeremiah 6:16. The Church of Christ today has nothing new to offer. Or perhaps we could use computers like other congregations use. There'd be nothing wrong with that. We could use the Jewel Miller film strips from time to time and other methods of teaching, teaching on the internet, teaching on radio or on television. Those are things that a number of people have used over the years. There's nothing wrong with that type of teaching. But we need to be careful when we mess with God's Word, when we tinker with it. You hear people tinkering with something on the in an effort to make it better, you know, so they can get a new patent on some product. But we can't we don't qualify to tinker with the Word of God. We need to accept that faith that once for all was delivered to the saints, and that's what we should teach, continue to teach. We need to teach the obedience, the old-fashioned obedience that God in Christ and the Holy Spirit teaches in the Bible. And we need to be willing to say, speak, thy Lord, thy servant, speak, Lord, thy servant, hear it. We need to give God the glory in the church. In the church. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you believe that without the blood of Christ applied to your life, applied to you, that you're lost in your sins. The only way for you to have salvation is through Jesus Christ. That's what God's Word says. He shed His blood upon the cross for our sins and the sins of all mankind. Are you willing to believe this morning and state that belief in Jesus Christ as God's Son and then act upon that faith expressed by repenting of those sins? But being baptized for the forgiveness of those sins. And then to rise and walk in a new life. To be added to the church by the Lord. As a Christian, you desire prayers. Wish to be dedicate your life to Christ. Need to come back to Christ this morning to God. You have that opportunity as we stand, as we sing the songs.